It's just so exciting to get the players all out there on the field and practicing together and getting the feel for what your team looks like and what your team potentially could be in certain spots and places. And I think our guys understand there's a tall challenge ahead, but we're starting at the bottom. We're going to climb our way to the top. We're just going to keep putting our head down and grinding through.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. He is Nathan Zagura, and that is former Super Bowl champion. You're always a Super Bowl champion.
Forever. Yes, forever. Take it away now.
A national champion. Yes. Can't take either one of those. That's Matt Wilhelm. Andrew Gribble will join us soon. Let's get right into the show, guys. We start things off with training camp inching closer and closer. The Browns kicked off rookie camp last week. Now this week, the veterans in town for OTAs. Here's Browns rookie wide receiver Rashard Higgins on hitting the field for the first time with those new veteran teammates.
You know what? It was pretty fun, man. We had one-on-ones, and I didn't know what to expect. I thought it was just going to be rookies versus rookies, but, man, I lined up with a vet. He was across from me, man, and, I mean, they just want us to compete at the end of the day. They want to see what we're about, and I feel like that's what the rookies came out and did.
All right, boys, what do we see this week? Tell me.
It was good. You really got to see the first time Hugh Jackson coaching the entire Cleveland Browns football team as these guys start to battle, become the final 53 later this fall. But energy, enthusiasm, pace, a lot of team 11-on-11, a lot of team work in that sense. These coaches coaching them up hard, and these guys going out there competing. It was more live than a training camp practice was last year, and this was the OTAs.
Absolutely, and I think this is just a sample of what Hugh Jackson's going to bring here to Cleveland as a coach on the football field. And I'll tell you what, being out of practice, what I loved is I was finding those rookies to see how they looked in a Browns uniform, how were they going through the drills, their movements, and so on and so forth. But then I found myself excited looking at some of the veterans that I think are going to play a huge role for the Cleveland Browns the upcoming season. Where's Duke Johnson lining up? What is he doing? What role is he going to play? Isaiah Crowell, how does he look running the football? And some of the receivers and the positions they play.
Do you find yourself flashing back to when you were a rookie, or do you ever look at it as, I'm a vet, and now this is how I looked at rookies?
Absolutely. And I think, even Paul Kruger being on our show, is like, the rookies are being good rookies, which means they're knowing their role, they're not asking a lot of questions, they're just quiet, they're to themselves, and they're working extremely hard.
All right, let's move a little bit forward here, and this is a story I think all Browns fans want to talk about. This week during OTAs, we also heard from Browns Pro Bowl corner Joe Haden for the first time since undergoing off-season ankle surgery. Here's Joe on how the recovery is coming along.
Progress is going pretty good. I mean, I got out of my boot yesterday, so that was a big step. I was on the scooter to the boot, and now I'm walking around weight-bearing, and the process is going, it's going along really well. Well, it's still no timeline. I'm just working every day, with the training staff. I'm here 5 days a week, just doing treatment, and it's just going along really well.
Nathan, that news is good because Browns fans want to see him back. He wants to see himself back on the field.
Yeah, he said he's not going to miss any games. The expectation is that he should be able to be out there for training camp. And Joe Haden, thrilled to be back with Ray Horton, went to his first Pro Bowl with Ray Horton as the defensive coordinator back in 2013. So you need Joe Haden to come back and really be an anchor on this defense, so the quicker they can get him out there, the better.
And I agree. And I think when you look at Joe Haden and how he has played in the Cleveland Browns uniform, you want to take him for granted the same way that you take for granted that Joe Thomas is going to do his job. Joe's going to lock one guy down. That leaves Ray Horton to construct a defense that allows other corners and blitzes, safeties to be integral parts of this defense as well, to know that that corner and half the field is taken away because Joe is playing like Joe can play.
Nathan, as far as the locker room is concerned, not having him active every Sunday, I mean, how much does that hurt a locker room? Could you tell the feel, get the whole vibe of him not playing?
Well, I think as he even alluded to in that press conference, which is at ClevelandBrowns.com, that, last year there was a lot of whispers on defense. It was messy. There really wasn't leadership. There wasn't a belief in what they were getting from the coaching staff. So I think this year Joe Haden being out there, and he's been out there, even though he doesn't have to be, he's out there every single day during these OTAs, being engaged, cheering on his teammates, coaching them up. I think it's huge for this team because he's a guy that they're going to count on to anchor this defense.
We talked a little bit about this last week, but this was also the first time Browns' new head coach Hugh Jackson got to see most of his team on the field all at once. The players saying Jackson, and as these guys have said, energy and upbeat, that personality, just contagious.
I'm just really excited to just keep pushing, and then with Coach Hugh here, Coach Horton back, Coach Louie, just the atmosphere and just the way that Coach Hugh makes the players, the ways he talks to us, the way he makes us feel, man, it's something I never felt since I've been in Cleveland. I say this to everybody that asks me. I think Coach Hugh's the best thing that's happened since I've been here. So, I mean, everything's going in the right direction.
There's no comparison. I've never been a part of something like this. his energy level, his enthusiasm, his positivity. It's just it's something that just lights you on fire every time you walk in the building.
And these are veterans saying that. These aren't just rookies. These are veterans.
These are veterans. First of all, Joe Haden saying it's the best thing that's happened since he's been here, covers a lot of ground. Then Paul Kruger has never been around anything like it and was on a Super Bowl championship winning team with the Baltimore Ravens. So as far as what Hugh Jackson's doing and connecting with these players and the energy, he's knocking it out of the park. Now the players need to do their part of it ultimately and get wins on the field.
Sure, and I think some of the messages that I can imagine that Hugh's giving these players is, all I want is all you got. Because what they've gotten less out of players in the past. They've gotten, you know, we've gotten less out of the coaches in the past, and we've seen the results. So we know up to this point what Hugh's going to give us, and Hugh's going to give us 100%. How many guys can I get to match me on a daily basis? And that becomes the winning formula to take the right 53 guys and the right 45 up on Sundays to go to battle each and every week.
And getting the most out of the guys means when they come into work that they're giving you all they've got. And Paul Kruger added to that comment that we saw just there that Hugh Jackson gets you excited to work every single day. So every day when you come to practice, doesn't matter what happened in your life leading up to that, when you get there, he gets you so fired up, feeling so good about yourself that you give everything you've got and you're getting better every time you come in the building.
All right, boys, I'm excited. You guys are making me excited right now. I'm ready to play. Why can't they play today? Still more to come on Dog Pound Report. Up next, we're going to break down the key competitions on offense and debate which position battle could have the most impact. Stay tuned. More Dog Pound Report on News Channel 5 next. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Andy Baskin, Nathan Zagura, Matt Willem. Time now to jump into some of those best position battles on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to start off with what else? It's Cleveland. We have to talk about the quarterback. Here's RG3 on the quarterback room and rookie Cody Kessler.
All of us are going to have to earn our spot on this team and earn our spot on the depth chart. So when they drafted Cody, I actually knew a strength coach that was out there at USC with him for a little bit, and he said he's a great guy. And since he's been here, he's been awesome to work with. Great young man, you know, God-fearing young man. So we always tell him, especially I tell him that, you know, if he needs any help, we'll be there for him. You know, we're not going to hoard our notes or hoard our special keys here and there, but we're going to try to help him be the best football player he can and then go out there and compete on the field.
Nathan, break down this quarterback competition.
Well, I think right now Robert Griffin moved the earth under Hugh Jackson's feet in that workout, and he's the guy it's his job to lose. I think as long as he does what's expected of him, and we know he's working diligently, he's in the building all the time, that he's going to be the starting quarterback, provided he stays healthy week number one. Josh McCown, I think, provides that veteran leadership. He can be that good backup that can step in. He's had a very good camp so far, and I think he's the guy that makes this team in that number two role and then allows you to bring along Cody Kessler slowly as your third quarterback.
I agree. I think Josh McCown, to me, is stability. You know, the past of RG3, is it going to haunt Cleveland the way it did in Washington between the injuries and his attitude? We know that has changed, and we know he's healthy right now. But Josh McCown brings stability. I'm not ready personally to turn over the franchise to Cody Kessler in case RG3 does not become the player we think he can be.
I do think Josh McCown, the one thing to watch out for is if a team that has a veteran-type team, like, say, the Jets, say they sign Fitzpatrick and he gets hurt, they may want to make a trade for a guy like Josh McCown, and that's when you could see him moving on somewhere else. But I think Josh McCown is so good for that room, so good for RG3, who's still a young man at 26, as well as Cody Kessler, that you'd like to see him there.
All right, help me with RG3, because the question of attitude came up, and I thought he answered the question brilliantly this week, just said, hey, that's in the past, I'm in the future now. Talk to me about his attitude, and you touched on it for a second. How is he different here than he was in Washington?
I asked somebody the other day, I said, is he for real? Because he's so nice every time you interact with him. You see the way that he's carrying himself as the leader of this team on the field during OTAs. And they're like, no, this is genuine. He's been this way since he walked through the door. And he seems like a guy, as I've said many times, we're going to find out if he can play. I don't know if he can, but we'll find out because he's going to do everything he can to be successful. And Hugh's going to do everything he can to make him successful.
Sure. And I think that ultimately what happened in Washington and how people feel about him has been a huge slice of humble pie for him.
Oh, yeah.
So he knows this is his last shot to probably be a starter in the National Football League. Otherwise, he's going to play 2, 3, 4 more years as a backup somewhere.
And players can see through it if a quarterback is not being the way they should
100%.
Be. 100%. All right, time now to move on to the big guys up front, the offensive line. Here's what Hugh Jackson had to say on what the O-line needs to do to ensure the Browns quarterback are given the chance to succeed.
That being said, I'm not excluding our offensive line, because our offensive line is the key to any of our quarterbacks playing well. And I think we all recognize and understand that. But I think those guys are getting better each and every day. The communication's good. Cam is getting more vocal. There's a lot to this. It's not just the quarterback. There's a whole part of this, and we're working on it each and every day. There's not another group, in my opinion, that is working as hard as this group collectively.
All right, Matt, you do have five vets that can come back next year and start on that offensive line. What's the offensive line look like?
The offensive line, to me, it's got to step their game up. I know last year there were big names. They were overpaid. We've lost Mr. Schwartz via free agency. I think we've got competition at that right tackle position. Cam Irving's able to go back to his natural position. So going left to right, Joe Thomas, Joel Bitonio, Cam Irving, Greco at right guard, and then the competition that we talked about, Spencer Drango, draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, Sean Coleman, draft pick of the Cleveland Browns, and the Bailey kid, you know, who's played some serious football at a high level. Those three are kind of battling it out, and not only protecting the quarterback, but I think, as we'll get here in a minute, is opening those lanes, yes, you know, for these two running backs, because we have two dynamic running backs. So I think the competition that they have there is fierce, and that's something that I'm going to have my eye on all offseason.
I think one of the things they were looking for at that right tackle spot was somebody who could set the tone, be that physical run-blocking right tackle. And you mentioned the three guys, the two rookies, Coleman, Drango, Alvin Bailey over from Seattle, and I think Austin Pastore will get some looks there, as well as at guard, and could potentially push John Greco. I think it's obviously Greco's job to lose, but they're going to look for physicality at the point of attack.
All right, let's move on to wide receiver. The team drafted four rookies on the roster. We all know that. But you still have guys like Andrew Hawkins, Terrell Pryor, Brian Hartline, and Taylor Gabriel. How do you guys see the wide receiver competition playing out? Start with you, Matt.
It's going to be very interesting. And it's something, it's exciting to watch the youth movement at wide receiver. And if I had to talk about the rookies in general, I know Jordan Payton struggled with some dropsies here and there, but he's going to be more the possession receiver. I think Higgins is going to be the deep ball threat. I think Sean Coleman's going to run a lot of the underneath crossing routes with the yards after the catch in a Hugh Jackson offense. And then Ricardo Lewis, to me, is a project. He's the guy that needs to be molded. He's the guy that, in my eyes, might end up, even though he's drafted in the fourth round, end up on the practice squad being developed by Al Saunders. And lastly, Hartline, Gabriel, Hawkins, and Pryor have to work every day to be here come August.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see more than two of those names you just mentioned from the veteran group. There's also guys like Ronnell Hall, Darius Jennings, who was here last year, that have been playing very well early on, getting a lot of praise from Al Saunders. So it's a big room with a lot of competition, but I think at the end of the day, youth will prevail. That's why they drafted the four guys.
Switch gears now to running back. You brought it up. Here's what Duke Johnson had to say about Hugh Jackson's approach about the ground game on offense.
I just say he have a lot of confidence in us, period. Just knowing that we're going out there and get the job done. We both two young guys that he have a lot of trust in, and knowing that we're going to go out there every day and give our all and do our job. And he's willing to put it all, bet it all against with us. Just because he knows our work ethic, he knows that we're going to do whatever it takes, and we got his back.
Well, if you go back to the draft, the two guys that should feel good are your veteran running backs coming in.
Absolutely. Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell. A lot of faith shown in them by Hugh Jackson, Sashi Brown. Hugh was saying, as we aired last week, that these are the two best running backs that he's been around. And no two guys have come back into camp this year or changed their bodies more from 2015 to 2016 than Crow and Duke. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Yeah,
in this
and I think
offense.
It's part of the maturation process. You know, they know they're the guys simply because no one was brought in to compete. They know they also have to be the workhorse, so they have to get their bodies in shape to make sure that I can guarantee that I don't break down, that at no point in the season am I injury plagued to have another guy come in and take my spot.
All right, Gary Barnage is one of the first guys that said, look, I want in on what's going to happen at tight end, and I want in on what's going to happen this upcoming season. Just tell me about the tight ends coming in this season with Barnage leading the way.
It's Barnage and Barnage and Barnage. I think you have Randall Telfer, another guy who's got probably going to be the blocker or compliment guy. You've got Seth DeValve, who's kind of in, you know, tight end wide receiver hybrid, who's going to be lined up all over the place. But to me, it comes and goes as Gary Barnage. The one thing that scares me as a Browns fan is what happens if Gary gets hurt, you know, and that's why as we get deeper into this offseason, if a veteran tight end becomes available, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the right age bracket and at the right expense, we don't add him to our roster and give another toy to Hugh Jackson.
Another guy who's looked good, though, EJ Bibbs, is actually off to a very good start this year. And you're right about Barnage. I will say this, though. Who thought that Gary Barnage was going to be able to replace Jordan Cameron? So this offense, obviously tight end friendly. They've got some young pass catchers, but I think you're right. You talked about Andrew Corliss a couple weeks ago on CBD, that if there is a vet that comes in, maybe somebody will get a look there. But But for now, I think those tight ends are the four that are really in the mix.
And he won over a ton of fans when he signed his contract early and said, I want to be a Brown. I want to be a Brown. All right, Matt, thank you very much. We'll see you next. We'll see you in 2 weeks because we're not here next Sunday. So, but up next, Andrew Gribble stops by to debate Nathan in some of the hottest position battles on the offense heading into next season. We're back right after this. Good Sunday morning to you. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us now, our good friend, Andrew Gribble. The Mad Scribble is here.
What's going on, guys?
It's good to be here. Glad to have you.
It's always great.
All right, boys. Here, let's do this. Let's debate some hot topics as we do each and every. This is the cool part of the segment. Now it's going to get hot. I'm looking
Grim's mom's favorite part of the show, by the way, I'm told.
She likes when you guys argue a little.
Oh, yeah. She
loves to make sure. Yeah. All right, let's get into this. We'll start things off with what is the biggest position battle on offense to look for? Gribbs, you have the floor first.
Well, you guys talked about in the last segment. I think there's so many layers to the right tackle competition that not only leans toward the present but also the future. You've got two older guys in Alvin Bailey and Austin Pastor who, if they prove to be the best guy on the spot, they're your guy for 2016. But then you're looking toward the future. You also have Sean Coleman and Spencer Drango. I think Sean Coleman, he hasn't been out on the field yet. We haven't seen what he has, but he's a lot of potential. Played in a running offense at Auburn. He can give you that road grader on the outside. Spencer Drango, projected as a guard by many analysts, but he looks like a right tackle in this offense. There's four guys up for grabs right now, and I know Alvin Bailey might have the lead right now because he's been out there, but just you have to look at the present and the future with that position.
I think that's interesting, and yes, there are four guys, and yes, that affects a starting spot, but I think the wide receiver position is the one that is the biggest battle because you draft the four rookies, Peyton, Higgins, we know Corey Coleman's going to make the team, Ricardo Lewis. Then you've got the veterans. You've got Hawkins. You've got Gabriel. You've got Hartline. You've got Terrell Pryor. You have Darius Jennings, who played well for you at the end of last year. You've got Ronnell Hall, who Al Saunders is a big fan of right now. So that's 10 receivers. So the difference between your battle and my battle, why this one's bigger, is because these people could be going home.
Oh, yeah.
Three or four of your guys probably going to make the team. Potentially all four of them make the team at offensive line. In the receiver room, some of these guys, peace, sayonara, thanks for coming.
Yeah, the key thing with offensive line, too, is what can these guys do from that backup role? When you have backup offensive linemen, they need to do multiple things. So a guy like Spencer Drango, are you training him to be at right tackle, or are you also cross-training him for left guard, right guard in that spot duty? Cameron Irving's a center. He can play some guard as well. Alvin Bailey, he started at three different positions in the NFL. He can do a lot as well.
And I said 10 guys. I didn't even mention my man Marlon Moore, special teams ace, played some receiver last year. So there's going to be some tough, tough decisions in that room.
All right, well, give me this then. Who is the guy, and maybe Marlon Moore might be your guy. You may have tipped your hat on this, but
no.
Is there an under-the-radar guy at wide receiver?
Yeah, Ronnell Hall for me. Guy out of University of Central Florida, was an undrafted free agent for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. The Browns signed them off of their practice squad late in December, appeared in one game, didn't catch any passes. But all offseason, this guy's been getting the praise of the coaches, making plays every day at the OTAs. If you go out there and see him, 85 is his number if you get an opportunity to check him out. He's looked good. 6 feet, 200 pounds, 41-inch vertical, a guy who could surprise at that receiver spot.
Now, this may not qualify as under the radar in the city of Cleveland, but a guy to watch for me is Terrell Pryor. I think he's come back a refreshed receiver. And the Browns added a bunch of wide receivers this offseason, four in the draft, but none of them are 6'4 and 230 pounds. I think he's been working his butt off in practice. Every catch he makes in practice, he runs straight to the end zone. Al Saunders loves that kind of energy. You see him do more than just deep routes. He can run crossing routes. And then he also has that extra versatility to him. You can maybe tinker your offense around some special things with what Terrell Pryor can do. I'd watch for him to make that 53.
So you talk about Pryor for a second. I mean, is it legit there? Because we went back and forth on this.
All right, this is what I'm going to say about Terrell Pryor. Okay. At this point, he looks completely different from last year. His routes are better. His hands are better. He looks like a wide receiver. When the pads come on and he's got to go against veterans in press cover, or when they go and they have a joint practice with somebody and it's another team, let's see how he looks. But for now, Terrell Pryor has made the biggest improvement, I think, of anybody on this team from last year to this year, and has really opened up my eyes.
Got to stay healthy, too. That was the problem last year. If he stays healthy in camp, that'll help him a long way, too.
Those soft tissue injuries are a thing of the past, with our new staff.
You talked about right tackle. I just want to know, who starts at right tackle, then?
My guy right now would be Alvin Bailey. I think just when you look at him from the physical standpoint, he, with what Hugh Jackson wants to do on this offense, bring back that physical running offense, I think he is the guy that fits the mold right away. You look at Sean Coleman, Spencer Drango, they're guys that could use maybe a year in the system, get developed behind the scenes. Ideally, they're your guys in the future, but I think Alvin Bailey is the guy right now to watch out on that position.
Can Drango win the job?
Absolutely. Just like a wide receiver, Ricardo Lewis was picked before Hollywood Higgins. Hollywood Higgins is going to make a quicker impact for this team, and I think the same is going to be true at right tackle. Sean Coleman, the future, going to be a stalwart there, but Spencer Drango, top five Pro Football Focus graded tackle each of the last 2 years, didn't allow a single sack in that Baylor offense last year. When you think about that, kind of mind-blowing. I think Drengo's got the kind of disposition to come in and be a natural leader and a starter at that right tackle spot.
Gribbs, what do you got coming up on ClevelandBrowns.com? What's there now?
Everything.
It's a busy week because the OTA Wednesday is kind of a big way that we can cover the Browns from top to bottom. Depends on who talks to us in the press conference this week, but we'll have plenty going into the summer.
All right, make sure you read them, ClevelandBrowns.com, every day. If you miss a little, you're going to miss a lot right there as well. All right, Nathan and I are going to come back. We're going to think about Twitter questions. I think Terrell Pryor is probably in there as well. We'll talk about that next on Dog Pound Report. And we wrap things up. Getting ready to go to the 19th hole here on Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin. He's Nathan Segura. Time now to answer a couple Twitter questions for you. Please use the hashtag AskDPR. First question comes to us from Dogs by Nature. Does the drafting of four wide receivers really hurt the odds of a project like Terrell Pryor making the roster?
When draft night came, I would have said absolutely. I thought that was the end of Terrell Pryor. But he has made such a statement on the football field with his performance at the wide receiver position, not to mention the fact that a guy like Hugh Jackson loves that he can have a little trickeration, as we like to call it, with Terrell Pryor. He can line him up at under center. He can line him up in a shotgun. Can run reverses with him. He can throw the football on an option. So I think Terrell Pryor is a guy who's come out and made huge strides and certainly is in the competition to make this team at receiver.
From what you said before, it sounds to me like he's moved from athlete to wide receiver.
He looks much more natural again. The real test will come when the pads come on and we have maybe joint practices and we get into the preseason against other teams. Can he still hold up? But right now in shorts, he looks very good in Berea.
All right, next question comes up. It's how will Scooby Wright in your present defensive alignment be used? His motor's always running wide open field when he takes the field.
He's going to play what we're calling the Mac backer, which is the weak inside linebacker position for this team, and I think he's a guy that's going to be a big special teams presence and certainly make plays inside.
All right, just real quick, we have one final note.
The passing of Tom DeLeon, the former Browns center from 74 to 84. The Browns want to give their condolences to his family. He passed away last night.
And all Browns fans do as well. I remember as a kid watching him and just looking up and going, wow, that's Tom DeLeon. He's Nathan. I'm Andy. Thank you very much for watching Dog Pound Report. We're off next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks right here on News Channel 5. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sun.